this is Father Voskan, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality. Well, it's a podcast about just about everything. It's a way to put your faith to work by walking in the shoes, by looking at life through some ancient lenses. Yeah, we call that Orthodoxy. And we invite you for the next few minutes to join us as we look at the fabric of life. Well, just about everything, including Christmas. Hey, The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Inner Shoes mission and is brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. So if you're ready, let's take The Next Step. Well, I hope you're ready. You gotta be ready, because I am. You know, it's like this morning, I didn't think I was going to be here this early. Now, I did something for you, and I hope you appreciate this. This morning, I went to the dentist. I had a filling taken care of, and I did it without Novocaine. Yes, I don't have a numb lip this morning. You know, don't you hate that feeling where it feels like your lip is ready to fall off? And I was just like stressing over that. Like, how am I going to do the podcast today? What's that feeling like? You know, where your lips just kind of like you think you're moving them and they're not. And you know, well, luckily, podcast environment's kind of cool for that, because the only one who sees me in here is Susie, Ani, and Ken. Ken's the only one who looks. So I don't really mind that much. But you know, that awful feeling like you've lost control of your lips. Well, anyway, this morning I asked my dentist, do you think I can have this filling taken care of without the Novocaine? And he says, I don't see why not. Let's give it a shot. And guess what? I did it. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. I did it without the Novocaine, without the numb lip. Now, I got to tell you, I have one of the greatest dentists and dental offices in the world. You cannot be less stressed in a dentist's office. Now, aren't the dentists like the archetype of pain? Don't they just conjure up all kinds of images of pain? What was that movie? It was like maybe about 30 years ago. I believe it was Dustin Hoffman, The Marathon Man. Do you remember that one? Yeah, he was like, it was something about the Nazis and everything, but there was that reoccurring scene where the dentist would have the drills and he would say, is it safe? I mean, he was the archetype of pain. You know, he brought pain on people and he would just like drill the person's mouth. Oh, just thinking about it, just talking about it is kind of like nauseating, isn't it? Anyway, you think of dentists and you start getting this bead of sweat on your head. Well, I got to tell you, I don't. I have just the greatest. It's partly the dentist, partly the environment. His offices overlook like the beautiful Pasadena Mountains. We're on the second floor on Colorado Boulevard. You know, this is where the New Year's Day floats go by and you just like look out. You could actually, and I shouldn't admit this, I have fallen asleep in his chair. I mean, it is really, really relaxing over there. Just a beautiful place. But still, there is the pain involved when it comes to teeth, right? It's a deep-rooted pain. And I bring this up because I've had really one of those ups and down kind of weeks. And we're talking about physical pain right now. But most of my week was filled with that emotional pain. And as I was in that dentist chair thinking about the possibility of the physical pain, my mind went to where we were this past and this entire week and the different kinds of stresses, the different levels of pains that we've had to endure. And of course, after I left you last week, the following day, I was to appear in court. Now, here in Glendale, we had this horrendous, horrendous crime of a young girl directly across the street from our church. Her name is Yvette Hagopian. She was murdered in her own apartment. And here's a girl that every Sunday morning, she would come to our church, she'd light our candle. Just one of the sweetest, probably never assuming, just a beautiful, beautiful girl. And she was murdered in her apartment and her parents had to find her. I don't need to go into the details. Suffice it to say, it was just one of the most horrendous crimes that you could imagine. And last Friday was the sentencing of the murderer. And we went to court with the entire family. And I had a very unique chance to address the court. And, you know, I had prepared a statement that I wanted to share with the court, but I got off script at one moment because I looked at the people that were with me. I mean, here is a group of Armenian immigrants, and the entire family had come out for this sentencing. And you want to talk about justice. You want to talk about, well, closure. You know the reality. I mean, nothing the court says, nothing the judge says is going to bring that sweet child back. Nothing that happens. There is no administration of justice. Where is the justice in that child being taken away from her family? And it occurred to me that, you know, I'm sitting there in the courtroom and you have this moment of flashback as you think of yourself, you know, going through seminary and what were the vows that you took to uphold which rules, which laws, God's laws, and how do man's laws, human laws fit into that entire equation. You start thinking about who you were, how you got to this point, and all of a sudden being a spokesperson for what? For the church. And being able to convey that message of hope to the court, of course, where I was addressing, but also to the people that look to you as an embodiment, as the person who represents this stability of the church. And I got to tell you, at that moment, it just occurred to me that, you know, this family is no different than every other family in the United States, except for, of course, the Native Americans. I mean, there's a family that came to America with one dream. And it's the same dream everyone comes to America with. It's for a better life for themselves and their posterity. And it's so well known that that's the reason that we accept this in the Declaration of our Independence as a country. We accept this in our Constitution, and it's guaranteed to us by the Constitution that we have a right to strive for a better life. And when people go against this, when they take away the life, they have not only torn apart a family, not only torn apart and killed an individual, they have killed basically the society in which we live in. And as I stood there and thinking of the Constitution, thinking of these grand ideas and these dreams with which people come to America, it occurred to me that we cannot let crime, you cannot let evil overcome the good. Because it doesn't work that way, does it? It just doesn't fit into my model. I don't want to let it fit into this world model. And I addressed the court, and I turned to the court and I said, I cannot allow these people's dreams, this family and the families that have come and looked to this family, for their dreams to end because of this senseless killing in a neighborhood, because some idiot gets up and decides that someone's life is ending at this moment. And so I vowed to the family several years ago and in front of the court too, that we have to take some important steps to change these evils into means by which others can be saved. And so we established the Yvette Hagopian Toy Drive last year, and I had a chance to explain that to the court. And in the name of this young girl, we take toys, not to just any kids, not to kids who are in need, but actually to kids who are victims of severe neglect because of domestic violence. So in other words, taking this tragedy, and I'm not saying to sugarcoat it, to far from that. I'm not saying to neglect it, to close our eyes to it, but to give the family a means by which to grab on to that hope, to keep that dream alive, that dream of a better life. And so we started this toy drive, and I've got to tell you, it is so overwhelming. Right now, thanks to Datev, our producer from The Armenian Show, she's got it up on Amazon.com. And you should see how many gifts there are. In fact, tomorrow they're going to be distributing to the shelter. And Yvette's family is directly involved in the hands-on of taking those toys to the shelters. Now, what happens in this case is that you see that we are hitting evil directly with the power of good. We are answering hatred with love. And so where do you get the prototype for this? You get it from Jesus Christ. Now, Christ gives us the example. He says, do not resist evil. He says, love your enemies. How possible is that to do? It's very impossible, isn't it? It's very difficult, especially in situations like this. But we can start taking some small steps. These children who are the innocent. Do you remember when Jesus was born? Herod had all the children killed. In these domestic violence situations, who are the innocents? Who are the kids that get killed, if not these children? And so we said, let's go and target them. Let's go and see if we can bring a little bit of love in their lives, a little bit of hope in their lives. And so these toys get distributed. A miracle takes place all of a sudden, right? Children that had no way of even dreaming of a beautiful Christmas are all of a sudden given the opportunity to share in something so beautiful, in receiving a gift that will bring a little bit of happiness into their lives. And so all of a sudden, we've now transformed this horrendous tragedy into an opportunity for people to love, for people to reach out. And what I'm telling you, our listeners, is that is the only answer that we do have. The answer to evil is not more evil. The answer to war is not another war. The answer to hatred is not more hatred. What's that saying they have? You fight fire with fire. Have you heard that? What kind of saying is that? It's not even logical. You fight fire with water. Think about it for a moment. What do they teach you? Fight fire with fire. Why? You fight fire with water. You need to calm it down. And you fight hatred with love. Love is an incredible weapon that unfortunately humanity has not yet been able to really grasp how intense it is. Martin Luther King Jr. came very close in bringing the African Americans to their civil rights. Right? What was you if you get a chance to study the 60s, I mean, take a look at those pictures. You had the hatred coming out, and he was combating it with every power of love that he could do it. And unfortunately, his life ended early. He fought against wars. And that, to me, is somebody that is worthy for us to really study and look at. He was tapping into it. Well, what was he tapping into? Something that was taught to him by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the first person who came and said that you can win over evil. You can win over this life with the power of love. You want to see how it's done? Well, here's the power of hatred. It's called a cross on Good Friday. And here's the power of love. It's a resurrection on Easter Sunday. And so we have this model that has been given to us. It's up to us to be able to use that. And so coming from the dentist office where you have that model of pain, I bring you to this place where it's not so much the physical pain now, it's now the emotional pain. And it got coupled with our children's memorial service, which was held on Sunday evening. And there again, you saw the ultimate of spiritual pain, of emotional pain, where parents were grieving the loss of their children. And so last Sunday night, we gathered together in Glendale. And to me, it's like, it's a no-brainer. We as an Armenian church have an obligation to do this to our communities. Who knows pain better than us? Who knows crucifixion better than us? And sure enough, there were people from the general community. It's an Armenian church opening its doors to the general community. And you see them coming in. Coming in because pain knows no boundaries. It knows no ethnicity. And so people coming in, people receiving that blessing. I got to tell you, this was just one of those really emotional weekends between the trial, between the children's memorial service. And then on top of that, you get the news that's just hitting you constantly. with the Christian churches that are being desecrated, with Christians that are being killed in the Middle East in the name of Islam. And you're going, what is this world coming to? Is it really possible? Is it really possible to beat evil with good? Or is it time to really pull out the stops and say, okay, might is right. Whoever is mightier, they're the ones who are going to win. North Korea starts exploding a few shells in front of South Korea, and the answer is, of course, let's flex our muscles too. And good thing we have those muscles, right? Well, where is the answer? Is it really true that we could find peace on earth? This is the quest that we're on right now. We're in a period called Advent, and we're going through these questioning times. I'm just so glad that we're able to go through it together. I wanted to share with you a couple things, a couple incidences that happened to me over this past week. Share you different kinds of pain, and I'm sure your pains are many. There are many that people go through, whether it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's individual, financial. Sometimes the pains are because of separation, loss from death, loss because of divorce. Divorce not only between spouses, but divorce with family members. All of these pains are difficult pains. They're deep down. But the only answer that we have as Christians is to combat that pain with every ounce of good, with every ounce of kindness that you could muster, because pain will bring only more pain. You combat it with more pain, with more suffering, it only brings you more suffering. And who wants that? And there's your marathon, man, right? Think about it. Hey, we've got a great show for you today. I know you're going to enjoy it. We're going to be tying all of this together. We're going to be talking a little bit more about this pain, suffering, and how to combat evil with good, and tying it together with the ultimate expression of good, which is found in Christmas. We're going to be looking at the dates, December 25th, January 6th. Why celebrate one or the other, or what does the intelligent, mature Christian do for a Christmas celebration? We've got Ani's Bubbles. We've got the whole crew together. You're going to enjoy today's show. We're going to kick it off with a song of the day right now. And I can't believe we've never played this before. Anyway, enjoy.
Of the year, when there is the clan song that you hear, yeah. 7 days move the seventh time, half the lads are pretty in a line. Bring out these bells, ring. Holy oak whereon it grows. Seven druids dance the seventh time. Sing the sound of bells, call out the chime. Bring out these bells. Ring out, ring solstice. The silver planets run. Seven maids move the seventh time. Sing the sound of bells to let me chime in. Bring out these bells. Ring out, ring souls, these bells. Ring souls, these bells. Ring on. Ring out, ring out, ring out, ring out.
Could I let this day go by without playing solstice bells? The winter solstice is upon us, and ring out those solstice bells from the Jethro Tull Christmas album. Actually, this song appeared on their Songs from the Wood album back in 1977. Yes, ancient times! And I remember having a tape of this in Armenia and sharing this with my cousins in Armenia while I was a seminarian. And here it is, almost like 35 years later, we're playing it here on this podcast. Enjoy. Actually, I love this song because it conjures up images of just everything good about Christmas, doesn't it? It's about the bells, it's about the solstice, and it's about, well, believe it or not, the birth of light. And hey, tell me, what is Christmas? The birth of light. Remember? Jesus, I am the light of the world. Well, we're celebrating that I am. We're celebrating the birth of light. And how appropriate, on the solstice. Now, wait till you see how all of this fits in together. It's like the giant puzzle of life coming together right in front of your ears. You're going to say, wow! I mean, like, when did all this happen? A couple days ago, I had a chance in the middle of the night. It was something like 4 in the morning. Actually, it was a nice morning. They told me that there was a meteor shower that was going to peak between 4 and 5 on our Pacific coast. So I got up at that wee hour of the morning and just saw this incredible shower. I was counting them. I was counting these, what we call the shooting stars, these little rocks hitting our atmosphere and just flaming up. It was really pretty. And it was, I have to tell you, I love these kind of phenomena when they happened. And this was, I guess, the tale of kind of an obscure comet that had been found something like 10, 15 years ago. And just beautiful, beautiful show. And it got me to thinking about all the wonders that are out there. But it does make up a beautiful December. And because next week, now here, now catch this, okay? Now this is really going to blow your mind because not too many people have heard about this. But this is true. Not because I say it. Go look it up. Do you know what a blue moon is? Usually people call a blue moon that moon which is the second full moon in a month. Actually, that was later on that tradition happened, but earlier in the century, this is what we're talking about, way last century, you know, like the 20th century, the term blue moon was used for the fourth moon in a season. Okay, so now what happens is that seasons, traditionally throughout the year, you have these 12 full moons, but then there's this 13th moon, because obviously the lunar calendar is different from the solar calendar, and our yearly calendar, our annual calendar is based on the sun. The lunar calendar kind of fits in there with the 28 point something days. So you end up having this extra full moon, and they call it the blue moon if it happens twice in a month. But traditionally, in far, far earlier, it was known as the blue moon when there would be four of them in a season. Each season has three full moons. One season, when it gets the extra moon, well, that one is called the blue moon, and it is the third moon out of four, because the last moon of the season is called the final moon. So listen what's happening. Next week, December 21st, happens to be the winter solstice. On that night, there is going to be a full moon. There is also going to be an eclipse of the full moon. Now tell me how all of this comes together. This is wild. Now, we had a full moon back in August 21st. And this is going to be the fourth full moon in, excuse me, did I say August? September 21st. Okay, so this is going to be the fourth full moon of autumn 2010. Okay, the fourth full moon. So last month, in November, that full moon is technically the blue moon. And to this one coming up next week, December 21st, is going to be the final moon of autumn. And you say, well, December 21st, that's winter already. Nope. Winter starts with the solstice, and it happens to be right around midnight. And this one, the full moon is going to be out before midnight. So technically counts under the autumn moons. So you've got four full moons this year in autumn, one of which happened to be the blue moon just a few weeks ago, and this one is the final moon of autumn. All of these come together, and then just a few minutes later starts the winter solstice. And appropriately, we just now listen to this beautiful song by Tull called The Solstice Bells. Well, the winter solstice signals the beginning of light, the birth of light. And traditionally, ancient times, ancient people would get together and they would celebrate the birth of the sun on that day. Now, what is the birth of the sun? Well, days start getting longer in the Northern Hemisphere. Hey, somebody figured it out. Hey, they were celebrating. Why? Because now you get a little bit more sunlight. And here's the winter begins on December 21st, on the solstice, and the days start getting longer and longer and longer until you get to June 21st, and then summer begins, and days start getting shorter and shorter and shorter until you get to this cycle, and you've got these two solstices. Well, the ancients would celebrate this. I mean, you look at all ancient cultures, they would celebrate the phenomena of nature. They would celebrate things in the sky flashing. They would celebrate the newness of life, the newness of light that would come and nurture them, right? Well, from the sun, what do you get? You get heat, you get light. Of course you should celebrate it. Less darkness, more light. And this was a big celebration in ancient times, celebrating the birth of the sun. And it certainly was a big celebration in the Roman Empire at the time when Constantine accepted Christianity. We're talking about the 4th century. 325 was the date when Constantine convened a council, and this was Nicaea, and they said that we will now express what we believe. We believe in the Father. And this is a Nicene Creed was developed, and in many of the traditional churches, we still continue to recite that creed. Well, part of what Constantine did is he started giving the Christian community he structuralized it, making it into an institution. Right? Think about a transfiguration, right? Jesus is transfiguring. There's this beautiful light happening. And what do the apostles say? Let's build some tents. Let's institutionalize everything. And then what happens at that point? You start wondering what's going on. Well, Constantine did the same thing. Church leadership do the same thing. They take something very, very basic and profound, and they start giving it structure. And Constantine was no different. And so he said, December 25th, happens to be this big celebration in the Roman Empire. And rather people celebrating the birth of the sun, S-U-N, let's have them celebrate the birth of the sun, S-O-N. And Constantine changed the date of Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ from the original date, which was celebrated on January 6th. Now, bear with me for a few minutes. This gets really, really interesting because January 6th happens to be the same date that the Armenian Orthodox Church celebrates until today. We celebrate Christmas on January 6th. So why didn't the Armenians change it? Why didn't they change from January 6th to December 25th? Basically, in Armenia, there were people who were celebrating different celebrations, different phenomena, but not necessarily this one. And church leadership at the time just said, hey, we don't need to change the date. Now, on January 6th, it's interesting to note what the Armenians and basically all of Christianity celebrated on January 6th. They celebrated the Theophany. Now, Theophany, Theo, of course, means God. Epiphany means revelation. So it's the revelation of God, Theophany. They celebrated this date. And on that date, they celebrated the revelation of God in the Nativity, that is, the birth of Jesus Christ. They celebrated the visit of the Magi, or the kings, the three kings that are most of custom and tradition tell us. And along with that, they also celebrated the baptism of Jesus, January 6th. So what Constantine did is he removed the celebration of the birth, the nativity, and gave it its own date, December 25th. Whereas the Armenian Church continued to keep all three of them until today, the birth, the visit of the Magi, and the celebration of the baptism of Christ on January 6th. Now, January 6th also has the in the Western Church and in many of the Orthodox, what is sometimes called the Greater Orthodox Churches, basically the Greeks, the Russians, and everything. Still, they maintain the baptism of Christ, and of course, they've split and kept the December 25th date from the 4th century. But the most authentic date, of course, is January 6th. And this is not just because the Armenians do it. It's a matter of history. It's recorded, and that was the early date. Now, here's the other interesting thing. There is how many days between December 25th and January 6th? Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12! 12 days of Christmas. This is the 12 days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. This is it. Between December 25th and January 6th. A lot of times people think it's a countdown to Christmas, where the 12th day of Christmas is December 25th. No, December 25th is the first day of Christmas, and it goes on till January 6th. Now, for all those gifts that are given, there is also another reason for those 12 days. It happened to take 12 days for pilgrims who went to Bethlehem to light a candle and offer a prayer at the nativity, the place of the nativity of Christ. It took them 12 days to walk over in the ancient times. No cars, no jets. They would walk over on foot to the Jordan, where Jesus was baptized. And this 12-day pilgrimage would take them through the Holy Lands, and they would walk in this in with prayer and fasting and get to the place where Jesus was baptized. And the tradition of blessing of water. We'll be talking about that in the coming weeks as we get to January 6th. In fact, this year, January 6th happens to be on a Thursday, so we're going to be actually dedicating that podcast to the traditions of the Armenian Church on January 6th, on what is known now as Armenian Christmas, because Armenians are one of the last people that celebrate the original feast on the original date. Now you say, well, what's that? How do we reconcile? We're in a real world where everybody celebrates on December 25th. Well, here's the easy formula, okay? Do you want to figure out when you should celebrate Jesus' birth? It is so easy. You'll never forget it, okay? The Christian celebrates Jesus' birth on December 25th and on January 6th. Happens to also celebrate it on March 13th. Also celebrates it on May 27th. Also celebrates it on August 2nd. In other words, the Christian celebrates Jesus' birth every day. Think about it for a moment. Jesus being born, the celebration of light, the celebration of God caring enough for us that he takes form and he illuminates our life. He gives us reason to exist. Isn't that a celebration for every day? So yes, celebrate on December 25th, celebrate on January 6th, but don't forget about the 26th, 27th, 28th. Don't forget about January 7th, 8th, and 9th. Don't forget about April. Don't forget about May, June, July, August, September, October, November. In other words, the Christian celebrates every day because the birth of Christ is a celebration that is a celebration of life. I am going to come back with even more things. You like it so far? Huh? You see how it all fits in together? Well, here's someone else who makes it all fit in for us. Here is Ani with today's bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is a touching story you may have heard before, but it's one of my favorites, and I wanted to share it with you. A few years ago, at the Seattle Special Olympics, 9 contestants, all physically or mentally disabled, assembled at the starting line for the 100-yard dash. At the gun, they all started out, not exactly in a dash, but with the relish to run a race and finish and win. All that is, except one boy who stumbled on the asphalt, tumbled over a couple times, and began to cry. The other 8 contestants heard the boy. They slowed down. They started to look back. Then they all turned around and walked back. Every one of them. One girl with Down syndrome bent down, kissed him, and said, "This will make it all better." Then all 9 linked arms and walked across the finish line together. Everyone in the stadium stood, and the cheering went on for several minutes. People who were there are still telling the story. Why? Because deep down, we know one thing. What matters most in this life is more than winning for ourselves. What truly matters in this life is helping others win, even if it means slowing down and changing the course. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. As always, so beautiful, so meaningful, and how appropriate. It is an Advent bubble, isn't it? It's in preparation for Christmas. You think about it for a moment, huh? God reaching down, God helping us, God allowing us to really win our races because of a sacrifice that he makes. It's so appropriate, and I think that it's a theme that keeps reoccurring throughout the entire Advent season. When you think about these toy drives that we do, when you think about the outreach programs, what is the one formula that Jesus gives us for Christian giving, for Christmas giving? It appears in one of the Advent readings. Specifically, one of the Sunday readings comes from Luke chapter 14, and I invite you to read it. It's a beautiful story. Jesus says, when you give a banquet, do not invite your friends. Do not invite people who can do the same for you. Instead, invite the people who have no way of paying you back. He says, when you give that banquet, invite people who have no means, no possible way of giving you back. And so whether it's a toy drive, whether it's blankets, whether it's just reaching out to homelessness, people who cannot give back, well, where's the ultimate model come to us from? Where's the prototype for this kind of giving? It comes from God. He gives to us who we have no way of giving back to God. What can you say back to God? He's given you life. He's given you this ability to love others, to share in his goodness. What can you possibly do? How can you pay that back? Well, there's an easy way. He says, love one another. Take care of what I've created. Take care of this planet. Take care of each other. And in that loving and in that care, you'll find that you have given me back. Manifold. You see, the Christian message all comes down to that. What sometimes people get so clogged up with is they say, well, I'm going to go read the Bible. And you start reading the Old Testament. You know that there's 617 different rules and regulations. And you could say that those rules, those commandments have been in the Old Testament, 617 have been brought together and simplified in a summary, which is known as the Ten Commandments. Well, Jesus simplifies it even more. He brings it down to one commandment, not about negative, don't do this, don't do that. He says, do this. He says, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, think about that for a moment. If you love, all the commandments are in there, right? If you love one another, if you love the presence of God inside each person, how could you possibly go against anything that God has said? Can you murder? Can you lie? Can you cheat? Can you steal? Do you honor your parents? Of course. It's all in that one little formula. Love one another.
Go to hiv parabanu tuna senke stedast vats onutsyan liv koha.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing, I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a happy Advent season, looking ahead toward Christmas. I also want to take this moment to thank you for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations, which make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step with Father Vazgen provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to your continued support, and as a way of saying thank you to you, our listeners, during this Christmas season, we'd like to send you the critically acclaimed Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan. For a tax-deductible donation of any amount, you'll receive this album, which has touched the hearts and souls of a new generation. Please visit our website, inhisshoes.org, and press on the Donate button. Or send a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. In this season of Advent, may we take encouragement from Christ and remember that God is always with us. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
You're going to let me talk over it. I almost feel guilty talking over such good music. Hey, that is Gor Mkhitaryan, of course, playing the Blessings song. That is off the Spirit album. And as Susie said, she wants to make that available to you for a donation this Christmas time. And also, I got some good news I wasn't expecting. Came into the studio today and Ken just showed me this. Ken, our engineer of now the third year, and he is, I think, all but two or three he has missed. And he's been on every one of our shows. And you could listen to all of our shows at epostle.net. They are archived there, and we enter the sixth season. The sixth season of these podcasts today. I believe it's today or maybe next week. But here's the deal. All of the shows from beginning of time are available on our website. But what Ken has done is, as an engineer, incredible engineer, and you see how he mixes everything so nicely. You know what he's done is he's put all of them on this little MP3 player. And he told me just this morning, he told me that what he'd like to do is get a few of these MP3 players, put them all on there and make it available as a gift to people who would like to give a gift. There you go. Isn't that nice? And he's saying instead of December 25th, it's so commercialized, let's target January 6th. Okay? So if you'd like to give the entire Next Step collection to somebody, this is a pretty cool gift, okay? on an MP3 player. You hand them the MP3 player, and they basically have the entire collection. Wow. I want one of these. This is really cool. I mean, everything's right here in the palm of your hand. It really minimalizes artwork, doesn't it? Again, like, it's all right here in your hand, your palm of your hand. You got, like, 3 years of next step. Okay, I know. I am addicted to these little things, to these gadgets. Okay, this is not for me. Although I would like one, Ken. This is for our listeners, he tells me, okay? And we haven't even had a chance. He told me about it this morning, and he wants to make it available to anybody who gives a donation. I think today after the show, we'll put up a... Okay, no, he's holding up 5 fingers. Your wish? Can I say 5 grand? Oh, okay. 500. He's putting up his hand for a $500 donation. I feel like I'm on KCT, a public television or something, you know? They do this here in this country, the public television. They put together these packages. Well, why not? Thank you, Ken. This is a wonderful idea. This MP3 player is available January 6th to celebrate Armenian Christmas for a donation of $500 to the Next Step. Now, everything that you get on this MP3 player is readily available. It's free of charge on our website. You can go to epostle.net. That's how sincere we are about this. I want to say this because I really want to get this off of my conscience. I always have a hard time asking money for these ministries that we do. But there are certain costs. There are equipment costs. There are costs of rental, of paying staff. It's a big undertaking. And, you know, it's your way of saying that I want to be a part of this growing ministry. It's an important ministry to get this word out, okay? So I do want to say this. You can get all of this for no charge. It's right on our website. It's at Apple iTunes. But when you make this $500 donation, Ken puts together this small little MP3 player. It's got all of the episodes up to season 5, which I believe we complete today. Susie has not given me a thumbs up. I think we either start season 6 today or we end season 5 today. But whatever it is, up to the date that we receive your check, he'll put everything on that MP3 player, ship it out to you, and it'll make a fantastic January 6th Christmas gift of offering Armenian Orthodoxy to an electronic world. Wow. I am really touched. Thank you, Ken. This is a really beautiful gesture. And thank you, all of you, for all the kind words that you send in, for your donations that you send in. And we hope that we live up to this trust that you're putting in us. It is a fun ride, and we're just glad that we're able to do it with you. And we thank God for this beautiful opportunity.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be
Ken, you are being too nice to me today. Something's fishy. I was complaining last week saying that how come everybody else gets all the cool music, and today you're even giving me some cool music to talk over. Thank you. You're too nice. This is suspicious. There's something's going on in this studio. Hey, listen, before we end today's show, I just want to share with you a couple fun things that came along our way. We received a lot of email, and especially I got a lot of email about kook. How do you spell kook? We had a lot of interesting different spellings and different things. Got one from Armenia, a guy named Artur. He writes to us and he writes the way you spell it. And, you know, most everybody, I think we had settled on K-O-O-K. That was kook, okay? We had that as a challenge last week. You know, we were talking about the kookiness of sometimes when you talk about a Christian, most people think and they categorize you in this kook category. And that word kook, I just like, how do you spell that? You know, it's not C-O-O-K. That's cook, right? So anyway, I think we settled on K-O-O-K. One of the more inventive one was kook with the 3 O's in the middle. C-O-O-O-K. Anyway, kook is the way, with the K's on both end of the O's. But the more innovative one came from Armenia, a guy named Artwood. And this is funny, because he wrote it out, okay? And he wrote it out in Armenian letters. Kook. K-U, and in Armenian there's a diphthong. It's an U, and a and a ke, so it comes out kook. And in his writing, he writes to me and he says, it rhymes with Turk. And I'm looking at it, it doesn't rhyme with Turk, kook, Turk. And then it just was a question of moving my mouth and talking with an Armenian accent, kook, Turk, kook, Turk. And then it like clicked in my head, oh yeah, if I say it as an Armenian, kook, Turk. Anyway, it made me laugh, and I wanted to share with you. I wanted to share a little bit of this, a little chuckle with you, too. It's kind of fun when you get all kinds of emails about these things. Anyway, I appreciated all of the comments that we got. Hey, listen, we are at the end of today's show, and I do want to leave you with a couple of thoughts before leaving. Just the idea that we are hitting Christmas week. It is a time of celebration. It is a time when you get together with family and friends, and you rekindle many old relationships that might have been lost during the year. Lost in the sense that maybe forgotten, but at least you have this opportunity to reach out with a card, with a gesture, a hello here or there. It's important to stay in step with what God has offered us. His step is a life, and a life abundantly. In the scriptures, it tells us that Jesus came so that we may live. And that is the very special message of Christmas. You know, you can get caught up in all of the shopping and in all of the things. A lot of times people tell me that, you know, look at all the commercialization. Hey, you know what? That commercialization keeps the economy going. And hey, what are we talking about? Jesus being the author of life, the giver of life. And the economy is life. Just remember, it's all connected, and it all has a way of playing in together. Don't get upset by so much of the stuff that's going on. Don't get stressed by it. Find avenues, find means by which you can express your faith. Take that faith, and don't wear it on your sleeve, but live it by reaching out to people. This is a time, as God reached out to us, for us to reach out in turn to others. Read the Gospel of Luke chapter 14 and see what Jesus says about his gift for Christmas, what he wants for Christmas, for us to reach out to people who have no way of giving back to us. Make that your challenge for Christmas, and you'll find that Christmas celebration, whether under a tree, whether at the top of a hill where you see the shining stars, or whether just in your heart, will become a real celebration of Christ living and giving his life for you. Love is all you need. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. I know it's been a pleasure to produce this show for you. We look forward to having you with us. Well, throughout the week, join us at inissues.org. That's our website. You'll find all kinds of stuff happening, especially this week. Check it regularly. Follow us on Twitter. We're also on Facebook with a /inissues. You just can't escape us on the net, can you? All kinds of fun things happening, and we look forward to your active participation. Also want to remind you, next month we have our annual Martin Luther King Jr. Retreat. It is the 8th annual, and it takes place at the La Sherpa Retreat. That's right above Santa Barbara, beautiful California Central Coast. You will not want to miss it. If you can make it out, there's information on our website, inissues.org. You can register there. You can find out about travel arrangements, all kinds of stuff. Neat times for neat people. Want you to get involved any way that you can. Hey, listen, for the wonderful crew that puts today's show and every show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
All you need is love. All you need.